Romans chapter 12. Let's do a little Q&A. What have we been discussing in Romans 12 over the last 7 weeks or so? I would say just shout it out. Spiritual gifts, yeah. Unity. Yeah, there's many members in the body. Unity. Our ministry, yeah. Paul speaking to believers. Well, we know Romans 12 is penned to believers because the Apostle Paul, as he's penning this, is beseeching the brethren. So these aren't the lost. These are those that know Jesus, that are walking with Jesus, that are a part of the church, that have been born again. And prior to Romans 12, what do we find in the previous chapters in the book of Romans? In this letter to the church there at Rome. Paul explains a lot of doctrine, correct? He explains salvation, he explains justification and redemption, regeneration, sanctification, justification. There's a lot of explanation in those first 11 chapters here, and then we come to the chapter here in Romans 12, and Paul, he turns all of this now to the believer. That now that you have believed this, this should be the way you conduct your life. And the reason being, and the reason why I believe that the Lord has us here and has had us here now for the last couple of weeks is because these are just some of the basics of the Christian life. We almost get things out of order if we're not careful. We'll do things differently as we even mature in the faith. And my thought, because I know my own personal life, and I know that I need to come back to the basics of Christian life. There are times that I just need to be reminded that this is the way we live. This is the way we conduct our life. That there are going to be ups and downs and hills and valleys. There's going to be different things, different circumstances that affect our faith and different things that come in and transpire and different trials and things that we suffer through. But if we have these things solidified in our heart and the way that we're to live before the Lord and the way we're to conduct ourselves before people and conduct ourselves within the body of Christ, even though those things come in, we get swayed very little. We have our hearts, this foundation now established. And that has been the desire for the last few weeks, is that we are anchored into something more than just us, that we're no longer tossed back and forth, that we have something solid. And for those that I'm looking out upon, I know that many of you have had a relationship with Jesus for a very long time. And those things may have already been established in your life. But like I said, if we're not careful, these are some of the things we forget, the very basic things of our Christian life. So we're getting now into gifts, and the last couple of weeks we've talked about prophecy, and last week we talked about our ministry, that we're to wait on our ministry. Now we're going to get into the gift, the spiritual gift of teaching. So I'm one of those, I'm an operational mind. Whenever we've built business, and specifically with our previous, our business now, my mind goes straight to operations. I'm a structure guy. I love to build out the processes. You know, our sales teams, our production teams, the way that we do everything throughout the business. I'm one of those guys that my mind, it just works operationally. I love to build systems. And that's what I'm seeing here in these gifts, is a system, an operation in which God has built and intended for the church. That there are going to be different sections that need even systems built out for them. So you have this prophecy, you have this ministering, and then you have teaching, you have gift giving and exhortation. And just the way my mind functions, I look at these as separate things, even though they're all collective, because the body needs them all to function. But at the same time, we need some explanation of them singularly. So there needs to be some understanding whenever it comes to this teaching. Every gift that is named here in Romans 12 is not optional for the church. It is essential. There must be these things in place within the church for the body to function properly. Again, if I were to take sales out of my business, our business would not have the bloodline. If I were to take production out of the business, our business would not be able to produce what we sold. And I know that I'm correlating this to business, but it's, again, the way my mind works. And as I'm looking at this, I see this even in the church. And no, I'm not calling the church a business. But what I'm saying is there's a reason why the people are in this body that are in this body. There's a reason why things are given, gifts are given the way that they're given. These are not optional. They are essential to the body. And when we start to arrive at this latter part of verse number 7, we find a gift that is typically quiet. It's one that somebody does behind the scenes until they're called to do it out in front. It's one of those gifts that even determines whether or not the church stands in strength or it collapses in confusion. And that is this verse, this gift of teaching. So Romans 12:7, the end of the verse there in 7, Paul says, "He that teacheth on teaching. Our ministry, let us wait on ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching." This isn't just talking about speaking. It's not just talking about knowing and explaining facts. But it's the stewarding of truth in a way that forms believers. It's the stewarding of the Word of God, the truth of God's Word that forms believers. Paul says, "He that teacheth on teaching." So in other words, if God has entrusted you with the ability to expound and explain His Word, you must give yourself to it completely. The title for the message this morning is there in 1 Timothy 4, "Give Yourself Wholly." If you are to be a teacher of the Word of God, you are to give yourself to the Word of God wholly. The training and the study of the Word of God. You must give yourself to it completely because teaching is important to the function of the body. The body can't live on emotion alone or excitement alone or experience alone. It must be anchored in the truth of the Word of God. It must be. Because things fall down. Things become chaos if it's not anchored in truth. Ephesians 4:11-14, it says some are called. It says pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. That you henceforth no longer be children that are tossed to and fro. There must be teaching within the church for the perfecting of the saints. That we're no longer babies in Christ. That we feed on the meat of God's Word. We're no longer satisfied with just the milk. And that we're no longer tossed to and fro. That we're no longer swayed by every doctrine, every wives' fable, as it says in Timothy. But that we are anchored to the truth of God's Word. Teaching done in its spiritual gift stabilizes the church. It anchors the church. Without teaching, again, passion, it turns into fanaticism. Zeal turns into error. Prior to really learning God's Word, if I was not careful, that zeal could have turned into error. And I've noticed that many young believers that have zeal must be taught the Word of God because if they're not careful, their zeal might turn into error. They might not know the depth of the truth that they're trying to expound upon, and they might produce error. That's why teaching is so important. It can even take unity and turn it into chaos. There's a reason why things have been established in this church that have been established. during times of turmoil or times of confusion or times of misunderstanding, we have something always we can go back to, and that is the Word of God. We can always come back here and go to Scripture. What does God's Word say about this? We have it. This church, whenever it was founded, also has very good bylaws. It has a very good covenant in place that we can go back to. We don't have to guess. We can go to those things, and it determines the way we're to conduct business within the church. Teaching protects the church from spiritual immaturity, because the enemy doesn't just attack through persecution. The enemy also attacks through confusion. Confusion. Whenever you don't know the Word of God, the enemy can attack. One of the clearest demonstrations that I've seen as I started to study is in Acts chapter 18. So if you guys want to turn your Bibles there, Acts chapter 18 and verse number 24. Verse number 24 says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, whom when he was come, helped them much when he had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ." Apollos was eloquent and mighty in the Scriptures and fervent in the Spirit, but the only thing he knew was the baptism of John. Then two people came to him operating in this gift of teaching. The Bible says they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Look at the way they came to Apollo. They didn't come to him and embarrass him or crush him because he did not know the gospel. They didn't embarrass him. They didn't come to compete with him. What they did was they completed him. They rounded him in instruction. There are going to be those that have been called to preach even, those that have been called to evangelism, that also need to be taught. Though God has gifted them in that way, they need teachers in their life. Teachers within the church are important to raise up men and women of God. They may not know some things, and they need a teacher. This gift is essential in the church. It must happen. And it must be conducted in this way. That they did not embarrass him. They did not come to compete with him. What they did was they expounded upon the Scripture. And what did Apollo do then? "For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures Jesus was Christ." It was no longer the baptism of John, was it? He then knew the gospel and he expounded it to the Jews and all of those publicly. That's teaching. Teaching doesn't exist to make the teachers look smart. This isn't a college. This isn't a professor standing up and teaching. That's not what this scripture is talking about. It's not to make the teacher look smart. Teaching exists in the body to make the body stronger and more accurate in the Word of God. It's necessary for the body, because one correctly taught believer can impact thousands. Look at Apollos. He then took that scripture to the Jews and all of those publicly. correct teaching, correct discipleship can impact thousands. I believe that our view, if we're not careful, is so small that we believe that it's just the preacher or the pastor or the missionary or the evangelist. But brothers and sisters, let me encourage you that it is also the teacher. The teacher within the body is essential. We must have those that know the Word of God and it can expound the Word of God. I need taught. We all need taught. We need teachers that are giving themselves wholly. Teaching guards the gospel. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul writes to Timothy and tells him to commit these same things to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Teaching multiplies. Preaching ignites. Teaching sustains. So the way that I look at this is preaching is essentially the match and the gasoline to the fire. It's what ignites it. It stirs the spirit. That's what preaching and evangelizing does to the body. It stirs the people. Teaching is the wood that keeps it flame. It's the one that keeps it going. But also, it's the one that keeps it from burning out of control. Teaching keeps the fire burning, but it also is the one that keeps it from burning out of control. So if preaching is the spark, then teaching is the structure that keeps the fire from burning out or burning wild. Teaching requires faithfulness, not a spotlight. Every single one of these gifts, if you've noticed, requires faithful stewards over the gift. You must be found faithful. Paul doesn't say, he that teacheth when convenient. Or he that teacheth when he's applauded. He says, he that teacheth on teaching. It leaves no room for anything else except for preparation. The teacher must prepare. The teacher must be diligent in the Word of God. The teacher also must be ever learning. The teacher needs to be in God's Word, which means that they are to study when no one sees it and to pray when no one thanks you and to prepare when no one's clapping. Because teaching is stewardship, not performance. That's why James says that there be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, because teaching carries weight, because wrong teaching can damage generations. How do I know this? 1 Timothy 4:16 says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. False doctrine, false teaching can destroy generations. We look at things so linear in our lives. And I don't mean to be harsh. I hope you guys know me better than that. But if we look so linear, we often just see ourselves, see our back 40, see our home, and not think about the impact that our life, that our study, that our devotion has on other people. We have to be devoted to the Word of God. We can't pass these things over anymore. We need to encourage one another in the study of God's Word. There shouldn't just be one teacher in the body. There should be teachers. There should be those that have devoted themselves to the Word of God. There's a Bible reading on the back of your bulletins every single weekend. Read it. Put yourself in God's Word. Even if you can't complete it, put yourself in God's Word. Study the Word of God. We need people that know the Word of God, because this world is trying to sway you. It's trying to teach you other things. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's now, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. We live in a time that everybody else is going to try to persuade you into their beliefs. They're trying to convince you to believe what they believe so the conviction isn't as strong. We are to know the Word of God. We are to be diligent in the Word of God, in the study of God's Word. We must be. We must be. Or this stuff will fall down. This will collapse. We'll just be another show. Entertainment. It's difficult. Why do you think this church only has 30 or 40 people that sit here? Because this isn't easy to hear. This isn't easy to live. He never said it was going to be. Look at Scripture. Look at all of those that endured. Was their life easy? Absolutely not. We pray for happiness. We pray for joy. We pray for contentment. And whenever God doesn't give it to us because He's expecting obedience, we get angry with Him. We turn away from Him. Brothers and sisters, there's a possibility that you and I are going to face things that nobody in this country has ever faced before. Maybe what He's doing is preparing you. Maybe He's preparing you. I don't know what this looks like, but I do know that I want to know the Word of God. That whenever somebody tries to convince me of something else, I said, no, absolutely not. I know Scripture. I've hidden Thy Word in my heart that I might not sin against God. I know it. But we need teachers. But teachers, do not circumvent your own devotion. You must have your own time of devotion. You must have your own time of study. The body suffers without teachers. And we see it in the book of Hosea. Hosea 4:6, he says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Not a lack of passion, not a lack of worship, not a lack of attendance, but a lack of knowledge. They're destroyed. Teaching in the body helps build discernment among the believers. It produces maturity, that we're no longer babies in Christ. It protects doctrine. We have to have men and women alike that know Scripture to protect this Word. We are to contend for the faith. Teaching strengthens faith, that men and women will contend for the faith. We live in a time where we must contend for the faith. Is Jesus real or is Jesus not real? That's the question of the day. Was this created by God or was this some happenstance? Some big bang? Some goop? It's easy to convince you if you don't know the Word of God. How many of you have had a discussion with somebody that's you think is much smarter than you, and they've almost had you convinced? Maybe. I hope you guys are stronger than I am. But there's young people here. The things that have been taught, the things that are happening in schools, things that are happening with friends, there's a lot of influence. And if we don't know the word of God here, where do they have to go? Where do they have to go? Because everywhere else is going to convince them otherwise. Everywhere else. Where do they have to go? Except for here. And hopefully their homes. They need a place they can come for solid teaching. Doctrinal truth. It strengthens faith so they can go and contend for it. So we can go and contend for it. A true teacher loves truth more than attention. They're not a people pleaser. They love truth. They love clarity more than popularity. And they love people enough to correct error gently. They're not an ogre. They're not going to beat them about the brow with doctrine. They're going to teach them in love and in truth. A true teacher loves God enough to stay accountable to Scripture. They love the Word of God. Teaching is not about being impressive. It's about being accurate and faithful to God's Word. We see this example in Jesus. He was constantly called Master for a reason. Luke 4:32, it says, "And they were astonished at His doctrine, for His Word was with power." Jesus didn't just perform miracles in the presence of others. He explained the kingdom of God. He expounded upon Scripture. You can see it over and over and over again in the parables, over and over again in His explanation to the disciples, where He pulls from Old Testament Scripture. He explained the kingdom of God. He explained the gospel. He explained Himself. Transformation requires understanding. I know that these have been really short and sweet and to the point, and maybe even difficult to hear. They've been difficult to preach at times. Because if I'm being honest, the reason I can preach the way I preach is because I have found myself in these places. I need to know Scripture better. I need to. But it's a burden for me now. It's a burden. I can't stand behind this pulpit without knowing Scripture. I can't. I must know it. I have children that need to know Scripture. Have a talk with my six-year-old for a minute. He'll get you thinking. He'll ask you some questions that'll make you question. Just will. But he needs to know the truth of God's Word. Daddy, why is there so many stars in the sky? Serious. I can't just, we can't go to the default answers, Jesus, God, the Bible. We need to know Scripture. And I know that's funny, but it's true. It's a burden for me. This isn't show. My heart is literally burdened. It's burdened. I need to know Scripture for you all. If I'm to stand behind this pulpit, I need to know the truth of God's Word. If you're to disciple your children and your grandchildren, brother, the guy's singing hymns, probably knew very little Scripture, but he was willing to share what he knew. And let me tell you, there is something about whenever you get into God's Word, He gives you opportunity to share it. He will. I can't tell you how many times I've been in God's Word and I go, whoop, I'm going to preach. Week or so later, hey, could you fill in? It's what he does. He'll use you the same exact way. Do it, and then come back to me in a week or so and tell me he didn't. He will. But we have to be in his word. We have to know it. Stop giving your attention to so many other things. They're not worth it. They're going to pass away. Those things are fleeting. You're going to get old. You're going to get ailed. Kids are going to move away. Grandkids are going to move away. Things are going to happen in life. But you know what stands forever? The Word of God stands forever. They've tried to eradicate this. They didn't do it. Read up on the Dark Ages. Read up on the times that the clergy were the only ones that thought that they could interpret this word. They tried to eradicate it. People literally would memorize Scripture and then eat it so they wouldn't be killed. This, right here, that we take home on a Sunday and we throw it up on the whatever. We pick it up next Sunday. Teachers build a foundation. They help give clarity. They guard the truth. They prepare the next generation, and they prevent deception. When our teaching is strong in the church is strong. The church is mature. And I like this, so forgive me. Give me some liberty. The church is dangerous. In a good way. It's dangerous to hell. It's dangerous to the enemy. The enemy is dangerous to you whenever you don't know the Word of God. I want to be used by him. I want to be. And I know you guys do too. I know that even now this morning, maybe you're not here. Maybe this isn't where you are. But I know that if you know him, there's something that's stirring in you right now. Do you go, yeah, I need more. Remember that hunger? Remember that? I remember that whenever I was first saved. There was such a hunger for God's word. Remember that again. I don't know what this message is going to do for everyone, because not everybody is called to teach. There are teachers within our body. We need to understand that. And please, please don't take this mean. I want to be an encouragement to you, because we have teachers that are teaching classes in our congregation right now. It's not just the books. It's not just the books. The books can be a tool, they can be a help, but it'll never be the Word of God. It'll never be the Word of God. You must be in God's Word. You must be. And use the books to help. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word. Lord, we praise you for it this morning. Praise you that you teach us that you're not, you haven't just left us here to figure this out on our own. But God, you've given us your Word and you've helped us. You've given us your Spirit that teaches us all things. You've given us conviction of the Spirit to help us. Lord, help us not to turn him away or to grieve him, but just submit in obedience to him, to do what it is that you've called us to do. Lord, I know that not everybody here is a teacher, not everybody here is an evangelist, not everybody here is a pastor, but Lord, we're all called to commission. We're all called to disciple. We're all called to love you and to love people. But Lord, we need to know the Word of God. I know that those might have hard time studying and retaining, but Lord, with your help, they can. My prayer is that you would just use your Word like you have so many times in my life to encourage your people. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.